Beloved brothers and sisters, I would like to share with you for just a few moments this morning some thoughts based on the text, Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. Jesus looked around and saw rich men dropping their gifts into the temple treasury. And then he also saw a very poor widow dropping in two little copper coins. And Jesus said, I tell you that this poor widow has really given more than all the others. For the others offered their gifts from what they had to spare of their riches, but she, poor as she is, gave all she had to live on. In Jesus' name. I always become rather uncomfortable when I hear the sentiment that the economic of the church could be administered like the economics of any business. Now we are all quite aware that above all people we should administer the treasury of the church with as much zeal, imagination, integrity, and honesty as any treasury of any business, in fact, even more so. But that's not all the issue. Rather, we administer the treasury of the church in a dimension of faith that puts it in an entirely different path and life. Else, what sense can we make out of the verse where Jesus says, I tell you this poor widow cast in more than all the others. He cast in today's value just a few pennies in comparison to the dollars and dollars that the others were casting in. We should note that the only person in the gospel that our Lord holds up as an example for encouraging the right kind of attitude and perhaps the method of giving is not a person who tithed, but a poor woman who gave everything she had, even that which she should have kept at a cost to live on. Now, how in the world are we going to explain that economically? It's impossible. Rather, the text is suggesting that our giving has a very important faith dimension in God, with it. And our part and also in God's part. I suppose we can all point to examples of a Christian giving on a particular occasion everything he or she had. And more likely, however, we end up interpreting this text with something like we give a tithe, take a portion, or we give faith to our Lord and then we speak for ourselves and the like. Now, I will not say that this is wrong. In fact, I'm just right, but it does not exhaust our text, nor really is it speaking about the heart of our text. Our text took place, according to Luke, in the midst of the last discourse that our Lord Christ had. A discourse set over several days of Holy Week, a discourse in a part which was spoken to various audiences and at different times and in different situations. Nevertheless, a discourse that has one other item theme, and that is prepare to die. Our Lord, through this kind of discourse, in those last days before his own death, in which he was preparing for his own death, he attempted to prepare the Jews, the people of Jerusalem, and in particular his own disciples, he attempted to prepare them for their own death. Get ready to die. And he wanted them to prepare to die by relating their dying, their preparation to his own death. Now, right in the midst of that discourse, Luke places the account of the widow's mouth. And I would suggest to you that concept is a weighty factor to give us some hint as to how to interpret it. That is, we are to look upon ourselves as people who are dying, who have already heard the pronouncement of death, get ready to die, as a man who in the hospital bed has received news from his doctor that he's going to be dead in a very short time, there's no help for you anymore. What kind of attitude does he have towards his money? He lets loose of it now, doesn't he? It can no longer help him. And apart from making sure that his loved ones are cared for, it holds no interest for him anymore. Now he is thinking of something else. Add to that now. You're thinking of something else. What? The death of Jesus Christ. We're dying. We're going to die today. We're going to die tomorrow. It's imminent. Now, at least before 4 weeks, let loose of everything, don't you? We couldn't care less about our treasure anymore. We've let loose of it. And now, what do we hold? We hold the death of Jesus Christ. That is our treasure. Because in that death, we know we will have life. From such an attitude, I believe we can begin to understand a person giving everything to help others in the name of Jesus. Because my faith is not here on earth anymore, it is with Him. So we give Him that faith, don't we? And whatever we give, whatever proportions at any given moment in throughout our lives will reflect that I give everything to Jesus because my life is here. But there's another side of this faith dimension by which we must, I believe, interpret the text, and that is God's blessing upon our gift. When we confess a heart, give to Jesus, a gift that reflects, I give everything to Him because I hold alone to Him. God will bless that gift. And He will bless that gift as if it were far greater than any other gift. He looked upon it in favor, and He took favor, and with His blessing, He will accomplish with that gift the purpose to which He gave it. He will expand that gift in His blessing. He will multiply that gift. And we have to have such faith in His blessing of our gift. The same way that He multiplied the oil to that woman in the ministry of Elisha, the same way that He multiplied the 5 loaves of bread in the temptation. I think if we can begin to see our giving with such a dimension of faith in our heart and in the blessing of God upon our gift, we can then, I believe, begin to administer the money to the church, not just like a business any longer, but with regard to God's blessing. Let us begin examining our giving. You and me. And we do so with the example that the Lord told before, the favor of 2 days subject to life. In Jesus' name, Amen.